Here's a dance you should know. When the lights are down low, grab your baby then go. I do the huckabuck, I do the huckabuck. If you don't know how to do it, boy, you're out of luck. Push your baby out, then you hunch your back. Start a little movement in your sacroiliac. Wiggle like a snake, waddle like a duck. That's the way you do it when you do the hucklebuck.
Hey, not now. Bet and Steny will tell you when. Hey, girls, start talking.
Hello.
Hello, people of Earth.
People of Earth, welcome to the Hucklebug. I am Steny.
And I'm Bet.
We're Bet and Steny. It's episode 731 of the Hucklebug.
Ooh.
My goodness. We really should just do seasons like other people do. Other people do seasons. They just have episodes 1 through 24 or whatever of the season. But that's not us. No point in starting it now. We've already been moving along on this path for quite some time. So we may as well stick to it. How's everybody doing out there? Y'all good? I don't know. Can't even hear you talking
hear a
back.
Thing.
I can't hear you. There's no live audience. Who do I think I'm talking to? There's no rips this week.
Yay.
Somebody died yesterday, though. Who was it? Oh, George Foreman. Rest in peace, George.
Really?
Foreman. Yeah, George Foreman passed
away
yesterday. So rest in peace, George Foreman.
Yeah.
But we will instead do your shout-outs. Roar!
Roar!
Roar! And our first shout-out is for on Hucklebug.com. It's for Tina.
Stand in the place where you live.
Now
leave us a comment.
She says, hey there, I'm so sorry. I forgot to leave a comment last week. Don't know what happened there. Oh, don't worry about it. You're not required to leave a comment every week. It's no big whoops. She says, anyway, love the film Operation Mincemeat, which was my movie last week. It's also Johnny Flynn who plays, he plays Ian Fleming. He was in the film, The Dig and Emma. Matthew McFadden is the guy I was trying to think of. She says, Matthew McFadden was also good. He was Mr. Darcy in the film adaptation of Pride and Prejudice and lots of other period dramas. So I know Matthew McFadden, who was the guy, I couldn't remember his name last week with the big woolly mustache. I know him from Death at a Funeral. That's what I remember him from.
Oh, okay. That's David Schwimmer, right?
Well, there's two or three versions of Death at a Funeral. There's an American version with white people. There's a black American version. And then there's an English version. Peter Dinklage is in at least two of them.
Wow.
Playing the same role. And Matthew McFadden is in the British version. And I think Alan Tudyk is also in the English version. And that was the very first thing I ever saw Alan Tudyk in. He's hilarious. He plays a guy who took like four painkillers or like muscle relaxers before he went to the funeral. And he's just tripping balls the entire time. It's hilarious. Anyway, thank you for that. That was a long tangent. My apologies.
Oh, she also says, Bet, I am with you where the dentist is concerned. I hate it and usually leave it until I am in agony too. I never learn. And apparently I don't either because I still haven't. It got a little better. So of course I didn't
go. Of course.
Go.
Oh, you're fine now. You don't need to go.
Yeah.
It's all good. Yeah. You can wait until it hurts again.
She says the coffee heater sounds cool. I love hot, hot tea, and it always goes tepid. The only tea I can drink like that is herbal.
Mm.
And this is very on point. We were talking about people on the Squeeze chat.
Yeah.
Squeeze songs in films, unusual places. I think the reason Squeeze fans get so excited when they hear a Squeeze track in unusual places is they have been so underrated. Considering the amount of years they've been going, and we get excited for them when we hear something in that unexpected place.
Or even in an expected place, to be honest with you. I mean,
yeah.
You don't even hear them on the radio here, although I wouldn't know because I don't listen to the radio. But yeah, I mean, you know, they just don't come up.
Yeah, and she says, I always related to the IRS years for REM. Those were the beginnings.
Uh-huh.
Just flawless. But then they also had a few questionable years,
yeah,
which is true. And I think they knew that, and they knew that it was time to end it.
I think that's what happens with most bands, though. You know, if they're around long enough, eventually they're going to start churning out some stinkers. It's just the way things, that's just the law.
Yeah, but some bands, they still like the money that comes in.
That's true.
REM said, we've got what we need. Just let's let it go.
There you go. We'll just continue to live off of our legacy of really, really good.
Yeah.
Really, really good music. She says, anyway, enough said for this week. Have a good one. She says, I have the first hen party for my daughter who is getting married in May. So you guys, a hen party is what we would call, a bridal shower?
A shower.
Yeah, a bridal shower. And we call it a stag party when the men go out, and they just call it a stag do in England.
Oh.
Stag do.
A stag do.
Yep. Thank you, Tina, for your shout out. We appreciate you.
Yeah. And you know, I'm glad there are still hen parties, because around here, at least,
mm-hmm,
in the modern age,
yeah,
bridal showers are both sexes, the man and the woman both
really
come, and couples come.
I've been to at least one like that, but I've also been to bridal showers that are just, you know, girls' night, and I've seen a fuck ton of them in Las Vegas, that's for sure.
Well, this is okay.
So if you want to see bridal showers in action, Ben, go to Las Vegas, because you will see lots of them. Just drunk bitches falling down. It's fun. All right. Over on our Facebook page, under the missive.
Yes.
We have shout outs. Roar. Who do you have first there?
Kelly with an I. And she says, Bet, I forgot to report back. I went to a Denver gymnastics meet a few weeks ago. It was a quad meet, and Jade Carey was there, the Olympian Jade Carey.
Ooh.
One of my students is on the team, had a blast. Today is Big 12 Championship, and I'm hoping to watch some on TV. Good luck with the tooth.
She continues, Stenny, how great to have found the stylist for your mom. Oh, man, and she's awesome, too. She's so nice. Kelly also loves spy shit. I'm not the only one who loves spy shit. Not exactly spy shit, but I like the Stephanie Plum Private Investigator series. So Stephanie Plum books, well, I'll just continue the rest of her comment. I'm not sure what she really looks like, but in my head, she looks like you, since she's from New Jersey. I love that. So the Stephanie Plum books, I have not read all of them, but I've read at least 3 or 4 or 5. And my sister's read a bunch of them, and my mom's read a bunch of them. So what I do like about the Stephanie Plum series is it was a thing that my mom and my sister and I could all enjoy together.
Yeah,
I'm surprised there's no series of that yet. I'm surprised like that hasn't been snapped up on, you know, the Hallmark Mystery Channel or something.
Yeah,
should come. Thank you, Kelly with an IE, and our final shout out this week's for Marla.
Marla
says, I'm back among the living. No photos, please.
Oh,
Marla.
No.
Marla's been waylaid by a bad flu and all kinds of gremlins inside of her. But I'm glad to hear you're doing better. Marla and I have missed our last two walks because she's been so, so sick.
Mm.
And I think we missed one prior to that also. It's not been three in a row. I think we had one and then, no. We missed 1 week and then had a walk and then missed 2 weeks. Poor Marla. I'm glad to hear you're starting to feel better. My goodness.
Yay.
And those are all your shout-outs this week.
Good.
Thank you guys for shouting out. I just realized I never left a link to the Eagle Cam or to the Kitten Cam. So maybe I'll go back and put those in for you at some point. If anybody, it doesn't seem like anybody's exactly clamoring for it. You could also just go to YouTube.
Oh, this whole week, that grubby, you call him the grabby. I call him the grubby.
Yes.
And Melissa at work thinks it's a girl.
Well, it could be.
Because the girls are apparently bigger than the men.
Interesting.
But big old feet. She's got some big old feet. Mm-hmm. And is starting to be able to stand up. And when she stands up, she just puts her foot on her sibling and just
stomps on him. Yeah. Well, here comes Scout.
Hello, baby.
Hey. Scout's very talkative today, you guys. So we may have a little bit of Scout on the show. And that's nice, because then she's immortalized forever, aren't you, baby? Mwah, good girl. All right, let's do movies. I have a movie. I watched a documentary when I saw it, it's on Hulu. When I saw it at first, I'm like, oh, I've seen that. And then I saw that it said it was released in 2018. I'm like, well, maybe I haven't seen it, because I remembered it as being a documentary that I watched when I was working like at the video store. So that would have been back in the 90s, you know, late 80s, early 90s. It's called Love, Gilda, and it's about Gilda Radner.
Oh, I know. I've seen this movie.
I watched it last night, and it's really nothing more than a collection of clips and so forth from, they're all arranged in chronological order. It's starting, you know, with like home movies and stuff from when she was little. And then, you know, through her years with, I think Godspell was kind of her first big break.
Yeah.
Where she met Martin Short. I did not realize that she and Martin Short were an item. Did you know that?
Well, not until the movie, though.
Okay, that's right. You saw the movie also, dear. Yeah, I didn't know that. They were on again, off again thing. Anyway, it's good. It's informative, but I thought a little bit boring, to be honest. I just felt like it was... I feel like a documentary should be more than just a collection of clips.
Well, my thing is it didn't really... tell us much that we didn't already know.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know about Martin Short. But aside from that.
Right.
I can't give it a thumbs down because it's fucking Gilda Radner and she's wonderful and yes. I love her. And, you know, it is nice to see, you know, she's just a ray of sunshine, isn't she, yes. Gilda Radner? Talk about gone too soon. We really, we missed out on so much. Losing her so early.
My sister and I, if you know your old SNL.
Uh-huh. I know some of it.
We talk from time to time about just the joy mm-hmm. of the total abandonment that she had.
Yes.
Doing the Judy Miller show.
Oh, yeah.
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 With her pants on her head so she can have long hair.
She was fearless. She was absolutely fearless. When it came to comedy, she would do anything, literally anything. She was wonderful. So, I can't give it a thumbs down. But it's not much of a documentary
in my opinion. I wouldn't call it in-depth.
No, it's certainly not in-depth. I mean, even just some narration telling us something. I don't know. There was no structure to it. It wasn't a good film. It was good content, but it wasn't a good film. Let me put it that way. So anyway, I mean, so thumbs sideways, I guess, for Love, Gilda. If you love Gilda Radner, and who doesn't, you know, then it's always fun to watch some of her stuff. But if you're a fan of documentaries, skip it. What do you got, Bet?
Well, I have a binge watch.
Okay.
And I have to tell you, people, I'm flying blind on this. Because I didn't finish it till almost 4 o'clock today. So I don't have any notes written down.
Oh, okay, okay.
I've got it in front of me.
What you can remember.
On IMDb. But I knew that I had to finish it because it was a true binge watch.
Okay.
I watched the Flavor of the Moment on Netflix right now. It's the new Baby Reindeer.
Okay.
I don't know if you've heard of it. It's called Adolescence.
I have actually heard of Adolescence.
Yes.
I don't think I spelled it right just then, but that's okay.
Well, it's
I'll look
British.
Up the spelling before I post it.
It's British.
Oh, okay. I'll look up the British spelling.
It's in four parts, and they're about 45 minutes each, except for the mm-hmm. last part is longer.
Okay.
But it starts with a 13-year-old boy, the police breaking into his family home to arrest him mm-hmm. for the murder of a classmate.
Oh, Christ.
And it's just riveting. It's just riveting.
Okay.
The only person in it I had ever heard of. And then at the end, I realized that not only was he in it, but he created and wrote it, was the very, very Hucklebug endorsed Stephen Graham.
Oh.
Of This Is England.
All
and
right.
The movie from a couple of weeks ago for me, The Blitz.
Right.
He plays the dad of the boy.
Okay. All right.
And I really
He was the big skinhead guy, right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
And I don't want to really tell too much about it.
Okay.
It's not a whodunit. I'll tell you that.
All right.
Which makes it even better.
I find it. I'm actually kind of more excited about it because you don't want to say too much about it.
Right.
That actually really intrigues me because you usually want to say lots of stuff.
But the one thing that I do want to say,
okay,
is the longer that it goes, there was a point like maybe mid episode two where I thought this is going to kind of start to wane.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't.
Okay.
It doesn't. It starts, day one is the first episode.
Yeah.
Day three is the second episode.
Okay.
7 months later is the third episode.
Uh-huh.
And 13 months later is the last episode.
Okay.
And the more that it goes, and especially, oh my God, the last episode, it takes on the feel of a Mike Lee movie.
Oh, wow.
It just tears your heart out. And just, it's so real. And
yeah,
it's great. It's great. Total thumbs up. I understand why it's number one on Netflix right now. Adolescence.
All right. Okay. I will add it to my queue. I'm very intrigued now. Okay. Good to know.
Yeah.
Adolescence, you guys. I'll probably have something to say about it next week.
Hopefully.
All right. I have a generic review. Funny, I'm sitting here looking at my outline and I almost said I have a rabbit hole, but that's you. You have a rabbit hole. I was about to say I have a rabbit hole and I'm like, I don't have a rabbit hole. What's my rabbit hole? No, I have a generic review is what I have. And it's not good. A lot of times our generic reviews are, you guys are wasting your money paying full price for this.
Yeah.
Get the generic, it's good. Not this time. Ooh. So now, Bet, you know, and perhaps our listeners know also, I'm a big fan of Crystal Light. You are too, as I understand
yes.
it. I love me some Crystal Light. These days, mostly I'm drinking the peach iced tea. It's very yummy. Sometimes the green tea, peach mango, that's good too. But, you know, their pink lemonade is amazing. It tastes exactly like pink lemonade. Anyway, Crystal Light's really good. So at the Safeway, next to the Crystal Light, they have their generic version of it, which is, I think, called its Signature, I think, is Safeway's in-house.
Mm-hmm.
Or Albertsons also. If you go to Albertsons, I don't know what other shopping centers they own. I don't know what other groceries they own. But Safeway and Albertsons, I know, are the same. Signature is their in-house brand. So I bought that. I bought the peach. I'm like, well, this is a dollar cheaper. That's a good deal. You know, if it tastes as good, then I'm saving myself lots of money on this. This is a smart buy. I made one jug of it. I only drank half of it, and I poured the rest of it down the fucking sink.
Oh, my.
It has a terrible aftertaste. And I know that Crystal Light does not have sugar, so it must use a sugar substitute of some sort.
Right.
And a lot of times sugar substitutes do have that aftertaste. But Crystal Light does not have an aftertaste
right.
to me. And this shit does. And you can taste it for hours afterwards.
Wow.
It is not good.
Well, that's actually interesting because I've done the Great Value, the Walmart generic.
Uh-huh.
And it's okay.
Is it okay?
Fine.
All right. Well, good to know. Good to know. Now, the problem with that, of course, is that I'd have to go to Walmart to get it.
Right.
I refuse to go to Walmart. We do have one. It's way out on Meridian, on the way up to Canada. But I don't think, I don't know. But anyway, just steer. If you're also a Crystal Light fan and you were thinking about maybe trying to save yourself some money, use Bette's idea and go for the Great Value version, but do not get the Signature brand. Boy, it's terrible. Really bad. Thumbs down for signature brand Crystal Light Fake. Boo! All right. Now, tell us about your rabbit hole.
Well, I have a rabbit hole. And it is such a personal rabbit hole that I promise I'll try not to go off on too much of a tangent. But Thursday,
I think that's the only downside of rabbit holes is they tend to be kind of long.
Yes, because of the rabbit hole.
Yeah, exactly.
But Thursday afternoon, and I have no idea why I got started on this, but I was thinking about Atlanta, a city that I love. And back in the 80s and early 90s, either me and Pat and Terry, or me, Pat, Brian, and Terry, any combination.
Some combination of those, okay.
Would find ourselves, at least for a long weekend, in Atlanta. And the best thing in the world was when the Hokies went to the Peach Bowl, so you could go to Atlanta.
Right.
And one of the great things besides shopping were the restaurants in Atlanta.
Right.
And how much we loved them.
Yep. And I've heard lots about your visits to Atlanta.
Yeah.
It's been a bit.
It's been a bit, yes.
Yeah.
Last time was just me and Terry.
Yeah.
But I got to thinking about, I mean, there were places like Pity Pat's Porch, which was just like an institution in Atlanta, like Disney World.
Yeah.
Everybody who went to Atlanta had to go.
Right.
And I thought that was a place that would never go out of business.
Mm.
Well, they did some time ago.
Yeah.
And I already knew that. But I got to thinking about all of the other places that we love so much. And I was talking back and forth to Pat, and she named a few places. And so I got on the internet and started Googling all of these places that I loved.
Yeah.
And of course, my first and favorite was always the Buckhead Diner.
Which I like was the sound of it.
Well, Buckhead's the expensive area of Atlanta. And it was an upscale diner, but it had the silver outside. And they served the best rice pudding in the world. And their meatloaf was made with veal, and they had homemade potato chips. And it was just great. And the atmosphere was great. So I did them first. They closed down during COVID.
Mm.
And then it turned out they were just going to close down during COVID. But then it turned out it wasn't feasible to open back up. So the dear beloved Buckhead Diner is gone.
Well, that's too bad.
And then my sister mentioned Fitzgerald's, which was right in downtown Atlanta. And it was a burger bar. And we would always walk, walkable from any hotel.
Yeah.
We would always walk there and have lunch. And so when I Googled it, almost everything that I Googled started with, does anybody remember?
Oh, no, that's a bad sign.
That's not a good sign.
Does anybody remember? Yeah.
But I will tell you, I'm going to take a sip of water.
Yes, good idea.
But I did find on eBay for $3.99, you can buy a book of matches from Fitzgerald's.
Oh.
And then, of course, there was Daly's, which was also right downtown.
Uh-huh.
And it was two stories. The bottom part was a piano bar. Ooh. Where you waited.
Yeah.
Sometimes for a long time.
Yep.
But then you went upstairs, and they had great food. But the procedure of Daly's would be you ordered your food. And while you were waiting for it, you had to get up and go look at the dessert bar and pick what you were going to have for dessert. And their desserts were just to die for. Daly's closed down. Oh, gosh, maybe 15 years ago.
Oh,
so it's gone, too.
All right.
Then there was Mix, which was like a casual place, mainly burgers. And it was right downtown. It was on Peachtree. And it was, It was such an institution. It was like pity pats. I never thought that Atlanta wouldn't have a mix.
Right.
My favorite burger there was the burger au poivre, which is, you know, crusted in black pepper.
Yes, yes.
Served with Dijon mustard.
They
went out a few years ago.
Oh, dear.
Of all of the places.
Is anything left?
That we remember, there is one that is still standing.
Okay.
Not in the same place, but I've been to both locations. So.
Mm-hmm.
When the Atlanta Fish Market first came out, it was actually in the bottom of the Lenox Square Mall, but it was a fancy ass place.
Yeah.
And it was, and we're talking, this is like 1988. It was the first place that Pat and I, two people, paid over $100 for dinner. And we thought we were hot shit. Yeah. They also had the best crab gazpacho in the world.
Ooh.
But then they moved out into Buckhead. And they were just as good. But the Atlanta Fish Market is still there. They're hopping, jumping.
Thank goodness.
Doing their thing. But I went to their site and looked at their menu. And lobster for two is like $89.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you would have no
trouble. I don't know how much longer they're going to be there.
Well, lobster is a pretty expensive.
Yeah.
It did make me think, though, that at work the other day, I'm in a conference call, and we're talking about scheduling one of our guys. He's going to be going out to do some work out by the airport, and that would be the LA airport. Uh-huh. And I told him, you should go to Aunt Kizzy's back porch for lunch. It's right by the airport. It's fucking great. And so I start doing a search for it so I can put a map in his on-site agenda to Aunt Kizzy's back porch, only to find out that they also have closed.
Oh, very isn't it awful? I mean, all these places from your memory.
I know. All right, we've got You Rules. And when we're done with You Rules, we have a topic this week, which is something we don't do very often anymore on the Hucklebug. I will begin my You Rule this week.
We're normally bereft of ideas. So this was.
We've been doing this for a long time. It's episode 731. We've pretty much done all the topics. But
that's
somehow,
why we're always asking for suggestions.
We would love your suggestions, guys. What would you like to hear us expound upon? Because we are happy to hold court. We love to do that. Meanwhile, though, I do have a U-Rule. My U-Rule this week is for Mish, also known sometimes as Krizzer. She's a Krizzer! Krizzer tonight! Mish is, of course, she's out of the hospital. She's been out of the hospital for quite some time. She's back among the living. And I just want to give her a U-Rule. She, first of all, she sent me some cookies earlier this week, which is pretty fucking great. But also today she accompanied me around Fairhaven, which is a little subsection of Bellingham. Just taking pictures for a project that I'm not supposed to talk about just yet.
Ooh, yeah.
But I took quite a lot of photographs of our beautiful town, and she was there to accompany me so that I didn't feel too self-conscious just walking around taking pictures by myself, which I would have. So thank you for coming along, Mish. I appreciate you. Now, who is your U-Rule, Bet?
My U-Rule is for James.
James.
James is a client of ours.
Okay.
But, you know, it's a small town. We know people. He's also a friend.
Right.
But I'm kind of his go-to girl. He owns a business. Okay. And let me tell you, people, without going into any detail, the most mind-numbingly awful thing that you have to do when someone has a business is everybody that they work for needs a certificate of insurance.
Ah, right.
They
yes.
are pains in the ass.
Yep, they are.
He has two different things, do it two different times. I'm doing like 8 a year for him.
Right.
So anyway, his gig is appliance repair.
Okay.
And I don't know if anybody's, I think I mentioned it on Sunday, I've been without a dryer for like a week.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
Talk about a pain in the neck, people.
Right, yeah, 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 yeah. You're just hanging everything up in the kitchen and letting it dry?
And around here, there are just no people. There are no, like, handymen, you know.
Right.
You can't find anybody.
Yeah.
And so my first thought was to call James, even though he's basically a coordinator for all these places he works for.
Right.
But I thought I'd call him.
Yeah.
And he said, well, I could, if you can get me the sticker from your dryer, so I know what it is.
Yeah.
I've been sick, and he told me all these tests he's going to have.
Oh, my goodness.
He said, if you can get me that sticker, then I can tell you, you know, if I can work on it. And so by like Thursday, I finally did. So I called him yesterday and I said, did you get that picture I texted you? And he said, yes, I did. And I know I'll be able to work on it, but I can't be there today because we have to go to Radford because they're taking Linda, who was his sister, off of the ventilator.
Oh, no.
Well, I graduated with his sister, Linda, and she was also I was her go-to at work.
Yeah.
Such a sweet girl.
Oh.
So this morning at about, it was probably around noon, got a phone call, and it was from him. And he said, if you are home, I can be there in about 15 minutes, and I think I can probably get your dryer working again.
Wow.
And I just kept saying, James, if this is not good for you.
Maybe this is not a good time.
He said, there's nothing else I can do. You know, I'm coming up. And so he came to my house. Within 20 minutes, had my dryer fixed.
Oh, my goodness.
And told me really nice stories about Linda.
Mm.
And in the end, wouldn't let me pay him.
Yeah.
And I kept saying, James, it's the weekend.
Right.
This is not when you're supposed to be coming to people's. He said, you do so much for me at work.
Aww.
There is no way I'm taking any money
from
you.
That's
and
wonderful.
And so, guess what I'll be doing tomorrow, by the way? I might be kissing James tomorrow, but tonight he rules.
He rules. All right. Well,
bless him. Did Linda. She was a sweetheart.
Yeah. Well, rest in peace. Or is she still hanging in there?
Oh, no.
Okay. I assume not with a ventilator, but you never know. Anyway. Oh, well, rest in peace to Linda, and you rule, James. All right. Gang, for the rest of our time, which is up, but we're going to do, we have a topic, worst songs of the 80s. We've done lots of best ofs. We've done very few worst ofs. So we're going to do the worst songs of the 80s. Now, what should we just go back and forth, you think?
Yeah.
All right. Why don't you start us off? Mine are not in any particular order.
Mine aren't either. They're just how they came to my mind.
Yep.
And I will say we each have five, no bubbling unders.
Bubbling unders this time, just straight five.
Only the first of mine did I not think of all by myself.
That's right. That kind of came up with her as well.
When we discovered that this could be a topic, you know, we went to a website and that was the first song that I saw, and boy, do I agree with it.
Yeah.
The ever popular Bonnie Tyler, Total Eclipse of the Heart.
Total Eclipse of the Heart's pretty terrible.
Which, if you love your Mondegreens or misheard song lyrics, in one of the misheard song lyric books, somebody, and tell me how stupid this person has to be, thought it was totally blitzed by a fart.
All right, I think they made it up too.
Yeah.
On the other hand, your mom thought it was sucking an old diaper.
That's right.
So who knows, right? All right, here is my first worst song from the 1980s. There were a lot of actors making records in these days. I could have had five just of actors making records, really. But I just chose the worst of all of them, in my opinion, which is Party All the Time by Eddie Murphy. It's very, very bad. But Eddie Murphy did have a routine about it where he said, "Even I'm going to go ahead and do this song because I've always wanted to record a song. And then even if it's terrible, I can just make jokes about it," which is, I think, a healthy attitude to have. You can just go, "Remember that comedy record I did where I tried to be a singer?"
Well, and you know, when you think of, you know, my favorite Eddie thing ever is James Brown in the Hot Tub.
Yes.
And I mean, he sounded like James Brown singing about the hot tub. This record has the worst singing.
It's ever. Really, really bad. I don't know why he chose to do that high voice. Oh, I feel like something in a lower register would have been better for him. It's just really bad. It's a bad song. I think it would be a bad song if anybody sang it, but it was particularly bad with Eddie Murphy doing it. All right, what do you got next?
Okay, my number two kind of comes from number one, but I thought of it myself. Because if I'm not mistaken, the same crap-ass songwriter of all time who wrote Total Eclipse of the Heart wrote this one.
Okay.
Good old Meatloaf with Two Out of Three Ain't Bad.
Two Out of Three Ain't Bad. Jim Steinman would be the writer?
Yeah.
Well, no, I happen to be, I'm not a fan, I would not say I'm a fan of Meatloaf, but that album was...
I like it for dinner.
I do like it for dinner. That Bat Out of Hell album, that was a seminal music experience for me when I was young.
Well,
so
of your age and location.
Exactly. That's exactly right. I've often said this, you were not, when you were my age, you were required to own three albums. They were The Stranger by Billy Joel, Bat Out of Hell, and shit. What was the third one? It was Springsteen, but it wasn't Born in the USA. It was the one with
Born to Run.
Yeah, it was Born to Run. Okay. Born to Run. Okay. Yeah, that's it.
Oh, well, of those albums, speaking of Two Out of Three, Ain't Bad.
Yeah. I guess that's true, right? All right, my second terrible song from the 1980s is Nothing's Gonna Stop Us Now by Starship.
Oh!
And well, we can build this dream forever, standing strong forever, nothing's gonna stop us now.
When you told me that you had they were on your list, and I said, I think I might know. Do you remember one that Marty sang? It wasn't Grace. Called Is Everything All Right?
Oh,
God,
I remember
that song.
Yeah. Really, there was nothing good by Starship.
No, nothing. Nothing.
You really and in fact, you really should go all the way back to the Jefferson Airplane era for their great works.
Yes.
What do you got next?
My next one, I hated it when it came out.
Uh-huh.
When I listen to the 80s channel and it comes on, I can't hit the button fast enough.
Gotta turn it off.
And it got so popular so quickly because of Michael Jackson.
Oh.
But it is Rockwell's I Always Feel Like Somebody's Watching Me.
Yep.
And the playing tricks on me. I hate that song.
It's not good, is it? It's not good. And you're right.
And I think it just goes to show how bad it was that he never did shit after that.
No, because he didn't have Michael Jackson on any of his other songs. That's literally the only reason it got airplay. I'm pretty sure the only reason it got airplay. Wasn't he related to Berry Gordy?
Oh, I think Rockwell. You might be right. Rockwell.
Yeah, I think he was Berry Gordy's son or something like that.
Or nephew.
Yeah.
Illegitimate child.
Yes, which is how he got Michael Jackson
to be on his record.
With a
blackmail letter.
But they were like, that's the best we can do for you, Rockwell. We'll put Michael Jackson on your record. But the rest of your career, you're going to have to build yourself. And he did not do it. Okay. My next one, I did have to look this one up to make sure it was from the 80s, and it was, because it was from the 1988 film Cocktail, Kokomo by the Beach Boys.
No.
Surely one of the worst songs ever written by anybody.
Oh, Stevens, I cannot tell you. The hate. I am just bereft that I didn't think of this myself.
I'm surprised you didn't think of it. Now, if you'd done even a tiny bit of research, you would have thought of it.
I could do a stand-up comedy routine about Casey, the beloved Casey, and I from work, and how much we both hated this song.
Well, and Casey and most of the world.
What is the poor, a prince, a god, a glimpse?
Yeah, that's it. Kokomo. Oh, I want to take you down to Kokomo.
Oh, we'll get there fast, God. And then we'll take it slow. That one's golden, Stans. You win
golden
the night
shit.
On that one.
It's golden shit. All right, what do you got next?
Well, oddly enough, I never said anything when you were talking to me earlier, but my number four is, we built this city.
Okay, yeah, we built the city.
We built this city, which is now a toilet paper commercial. So I think it's called We Quilt This City.
That's right, We Quilt This City. Yeah, it's bad too. And
when you think about the video, think about the starship and how, not the starship, the airplane, and how kind of revolutionary and grungy and dirty and druggy. And when you see them in their crisp white blouses and leather pants, you know, dancing, we built this city. What the hell happened to them?
Yeah. Well, We Built This City on Rock and Roll is also a really, really terrible song. I just think Nothing's Gonna Stop Us Now is worse, personally. But they're both bad. My next one is a song I hated when it came out, and I still hate it to this day, and the video is sexist trash. Ooh. Cherry Pie by Warrant.
Oh! See,
my cherry pie!
Yeah, I thought of all of the hair bands.
Yeah.
And I was, you know... every rose has its thorns. We said no bubbling under, but
right. It's pretty bad too.
But yeah, I thought of no hair bands because, you know, I've done all of those behind the music things about hair bands. So, you know, I don't want to hurt their feelings.
No, exactly. Poor Nikki Six. What has he got left to live for? Let him go. let him live, will you? He's on borrowed time as it is. Oh. Nikki Six should have been dead decades ago.
Well, he died once, you know, behind the music. He died.
I know.
He came back.
It was great. Who you got next now?
Well, I got one more.
Your last one.
This is the only one that I think maybe somebody out there might disagree with.
Somebody might like
it. If you do, you just chime in. No hard feelings.
Right.
But I hated the video, especially because of one person who was in it. But I hated the song then and now. Don't worry.
Oh, yeah.
Be happy. Well, first of all, as a person who suffers clinical depression, don't the fuck tell me to not worry and be happy.
Yeah, right.
You insult me, Bobby McFerrin.
Easy. Thank you, Bobby McFerrin.
And then, of course, Robin Williams is hopping, jumping, doing his thing. But the other comic with Bobby in that is a comic named Rich Snyder.
Oh, I thought I'm pretty sure Bill Irwin is in that video.
No, well, if he is, the three that appear, Rich Snyder is the third.
Okay.
And I always detested him. He was a recurring character on Designing Women that I hated.
Oh. Huh. I don't remember him. And I did watch Designing Women.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know why. Well, anyways.
And, just the things like, you worry, you come to me, I'll make you happy.
Yeah.
You live in Hollywood and make $1 million a day.
Bobby, let me be worried for a little while, especially now, for Christ's sakes. Don't happy be worried is what the song should be now. Don't happy, be worried. My final one, and again, mine are in no particular order, but this is the one that ended up in last place, is Tiffany's cover of I Saw Her Standing There, which is, of course, I Saw Him Standing There. I had a roommate
who
fucking loved Tiffany, and every morning before she went to work, or before she went to school, I guess, while she was, like, getting ready in the morning, she listened to Tiffany, including this song. It's real bad, just like every other song Tiffany recorded.
Well, I honestly don't know that.
Well, I certainly would not recommend you go off looking
for it. Apparently covers were all she did. because I think we're alone now.
Well, she also had a ballad that was on that record that I'm sure she didn't write. Somebody probably wrote it for her, but the ballad was also
really bad. Oh, I'll
have
to look that up.
Gosh, don't. I really wouldn't. It's so bad. I'd hate to be responsible for that.
Right.
But listeners, if you guys remember Tiffany's cover of I Saw Him Standing There,
it's just bad. Wonderful Tiffany and her American tour of malls in New Jersey.
Only
in the 80s, people.
It's true. It's true. I'm going to play every mall in the United States. She was big. She was big for a minute. There was the whole Tiffany versus Debbie Gibson thing.
Mm.
Debbie Gibson I liked slightly better because she could play the piano and she wrote some of her own songs. But really, I didn't care.
Yeah, and she went on to like do some musicals and stuff. So.
Yeah, she was in Les Miserables.
Yeah.
She did some big musicals, not even little ones. I think Tiffany did too, though, to be honest. I think Tiffany would have been excellent in Heathers, actually, in the musical version of Heathers. She would have been perfect for that. But now she's too old. Anyway, so there's our topic. Guys, what are some of your worst songs of the 80s? What did we miss?
We know you have to have some, so we want to hear some opinions.
And also, let us know if you have any topics like this that you would like to hear, especially lists. We particularly enjoy lists, top fives or bottom fives. We like to do that.
Yeah.
We've done lots of them already, but, you know, that's okay. We'd be happy to do some of them again, probably.
Yeah.
That is it, though, for Huckabug episode 731. Thank you guys for listening. We'll be back next week with more. Until that time, I am Stenny.
And I'm Bet.
We're Bet and Stenny. You've been listening to the Huckabug. Bye, everybody. Goodbye.
Bye. We love you.
That's the way you do it when you do the Huckabug.
Coming, I promise.